Welcome back to the Week 17 edition. You are back in the Coliseum of Fantasy Knowledge. This is the IDP Fantasy Empire. This week, again, wrapping up the regular season. I feel like this year's flown by just like every NFL season flies by. So we're going to be moving into the off season. One of my favorite times of year is all Black Monday. It's one of my favorite ones. Really? I love to see what teams are going with, and especially with my team, I'm going to be super excited.
Yeah, my team, I'm pretty excited. We got rid of Jack Del Rio. I think that's a nod to John Gruden, at least what I've read. I don't see why they would fire somebody if they didn't have somebody else in.
Especially that soon.
Yeah.
It's like when you break up with your girlfriend because you already have one in the wings you're just waiting on, so you're just like, okay, she's ready.
Yeah, but heaven forbid if they break up with you, you know what I mean?
Like, they break up with you first, you're like, oh, that's not right. But, I mean, I think Jack Del Rio will still be a good coordinator somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's still got a lot of prospects out there to get a coaching job. It's not going to be that hard.
Yeah, and it's one thing we've talked about all off season, leading up to the season, throughout the season, is how the Raiders always tried to do more with less. Mm-hmm. They would kick out the bad character guys or the guys that didn't appeal to Jack Del Rio. I think this is good signs for the Raiders. We may start getting good draft picks. I'm so tired of seeing the Steelers take good draft players. You know what I mean? And I'm like, why can't the Raiders have a draft like that? Why does this guy have to be fast but a terrible football player?
Well, and you're talking to someone who watches Green Bay year after year in the draft.
Trade down. Yeah.
And I'm just like, dude, you know how many times we traded down and missed good talent because we've decided to trade down?
Imagine if y'all would have got Dalvin Cook this year.
Yeah, and I don't know if Dalvin Cook would have helped our defense any, you know what I mean?
The thing is, I think he probably would have kept Aaron Rodgers healthy more.
Well, they both went out with injuries, so I mean, that's just the what if thing.
Yeah.
Like, what if Barr wouldn't have drove his arm into Rodgers? I mean, what if?
What if DeSean Jackson didn't have a fall guy?
Yeah, right? Exactly. I mean, that's the thing about the whole season is, you know, you look at a couple draft picks, like, everyone's like, well, why didn't we get TJ Watt? That was the big thing during the draft. Or everyone was mad at that because most Green Bay fans are Wisconsin fans.
Yeah.
You know, I said, you know, there's a lot of good players. I was like, I wanted Kevin King. That's who I wanted. You know, we traded down. I feel like we still could have got that pick and traded back up and got him. But Ted Thompson wants to get these 6th and 7th round, 8th round guys that half the time don't even make a difference on the team. Instead of just giving up a couple picks. But I'm telling you, this year, if we get the 13th or 14th, depending on how the coin flip goes, if we trade down from there, we better be getting something real good.
Yeah.
Like, we have to get talent. Like, if you want Rodgers to start winning or, you know, build something around him, you have to do it at some point in time. You can't just keep scapegoating and lollipopping around it. Because Ted Thompson doesn't go out and spend on free agents either. And that's something that has to change.
Real quick, what positions do you want the Packers to pick up?
Pick up in free agency?
Or in the rookie draft.
I would love for them to get maybe some more. I mean, I feel like we're always adding depth at cornerbacks and D-backs. But honestly, I would like to see an offensive lineman. That's first. We need depth there. And two is another wide receiver. And I don't care. I know these are probably like needs. You're probably like, what the hell are you talking about? You have wide receivers. But I haven't really seen Randall Cobb since the last time or since Jordy Nelson got hurt.
He played well today,
but though. He's been his last two really good games have been in garbage. Yeah. Where it doesn't matter, nothing's on the line.
And to bring it all back to fantasy, this is week 17. You're not seeing premium talent out there because people are resting their guys going into the playoffs.
Exactly.
Especially if they're in playoff contention.
So you know, and I feel like this year there's some good wide receiver talent that's probably going to be in the 2nd and 3rd rounds that I feel like are going to be pretty good. Because I mean, we got Devontae in the 3rd round, I believe. Yeah. You know, we've gotten good wide receivers out of those deep rounds. So it's not like that's not doable. I'm just saying I feel like we need an offensive line. And if, you know, if there's a good interior pass rusher, like a D end, I'm down with that. You know, that's fine. I don't really know what they're going to do at middle linebacker. I feel like they should still get someone there. But, I mean, you only get one pick around. And he ended up getting B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews, and both those guys turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah, and that's why I like following the Browns, honestly. I know a lot of people are going to laugh about this, but I like what the Browns have done, and they've traded 3rd rounds for 2nd rounds the next year, and they've amassed a huge collection of picks.
Well, they're going to have the 1st and 4th round this year.
Yeah, or 1st and 4th pick.
Yeah, no, that's what I said, 1st and 4th.
But, yeah, bringing it all back to the draft, Paul and I are going to start diving into rookies coming in next year. I know Paul's done a little bit. I usually wait until after week 17 where it's just the playoffs, and then I don't have to focus on fantasy at all. Mm-hmm. I'm not playing any DFS because the house always wins in the playoffs. And that's whenever I start going position by position. And speaking of position by position, why don't you go ahead and tell them what we're going to do with our premium podcast?
All right, for our premium podcast, we're going to have a lot of stuff. You know, we're going to be doing a lot of stuff. And again, we've been talking about our website. We're still making it, still in the process of getting it. We're going to be hopefully be active on the 5th. That's, you know, our goal date. We're going to be doing some rankings and stuff. So we're going to be getting those some early ones out. Again, we're going to be starting the rookie and all the draft stuff. I know I'm excited about it. I love watching film. It sounds stupid, but I love highlight packages, and I like going in and actually watching individual games and seeing what these big name guys really do.
Mm-hmm. And we do a lot in our premium podcast. We're going to be talking about a lot of guys that we missed on, why we missed on them. We may do a special segment on film study on what we're looking for. But to round this all out, we've been giving y'all a free podcast for the longest time, and the premium podcast is really going to help us pay for this product, at least cover the cost, because we've been working at minimum cost the whole time. Mm-hmm. Paul, take us into the coaches that got fired and some of the speculations on who's going to get picked up or dropped on Black Monday. I know you really like Black Monday.
I do love Black Monday, man. Because, I mean, you always get like six a year, so it's always fun to see what they're going to do and how maybe they can fix it. So, first off on the list, Adam Schefter, which this one I'm super excited about. I even texted you about it, sent you a screenshot, and I even called my mom. Because we had literally just talked about it about an hour before because she had listened to our Wednesday podcast. And she was like, you said you don't want Capers back? I said, no, I've been saying that for 3 years. But that leads me into they're reporting that Dom Capers is not going to be expected to return. Most likely, he'll probably just leave. I'm very excited about this news. I'm excited because I think there's a lot of good defensive coordinators out there that are going to be hitting that aren't going to be names that you really would know unless you really are following coaching a lot. I think there's a lot of guys who are, I want to say, disciples of other really good defensive coordinators, and it's kind of like college. You know, when it comes to coordinators, these disciples usually do very well. There's always cases of bad ones, but a lot of these guys do really well in the NFL when they actually get their chance to do it by themselves.
I really like whenever a defensive coordinator comes from another team because they're bringing a different philosophy. Mm-hmm. You look at the Patriots, who have always found talent. And I know they started out the year terrible, but their run support has gotten a lot better. And for what they have, their coverage has gotten better out of their linebackers and their pass rush. Started the season without having a sack into, I believe, 8 games. Mm-hmm. And then they had a sack at least in one of the continuous games. I don't think defensive coordinators make good head coaches, though.
No, I don't either. I think the only one that's worked out so far is probably the best one out there
right now. Well, in recent history.
Let's say just the coaches now. Who's the best defense coordinator as a head coach?
Definitely not Spagnuolo. I can't really think of one that's been really successful lately.
See, that's my thing. I can't really think of one either off the top of my head. So the next one up, Mike Silver reports that Matt Patricia, New England defensive coordinator, is expected to take a job if Caldwell gets fired with the Lions. And that's one of our speculatory ones.
Our next one up is the NFL.com is reporting that Jack Del Rio got fired. Again, we talked about this earlier.
He even mentioned in his press conference that he was canned.
Yeah. Said that Mark Davis talked to him right after the game. It looked like he was tearing up. He said that the Raiders were his childhood team, which I knew that. I don't know if you knew that, Paul.
Mm-hmm. I knew that because you told me.
Yeah. But I think this is good signs for the Raiders. Again, this is a defensive coordinator who was asked to be a head coach. And we've already talked about it. We can cover the next one. Colts.com is reporting that Chuck Pagano got fired. Twisty tongue.
They give me all that stuff about Fontes, and then you almost mess up that one. I was going to get you on that.
Chuck Pagano was fired. I think this is a good sign for the Colts.
Yeah, and it was one of those he had to win, and he didn't win.
Yeah, especially getting Jack Dorsey as their GM. I think that's going to help out the Colts a lot because we've seen how good Jack Dorsey has been for the Chiefs. And I think they're going to get a lot better talent, especially drafting early on. They kind of got help with Luck being hurt. I know it's not great that an NFL franchise does poorly, but we've seen teams like this completely turn around. You look at the Panthers, who were great. They went to the Super Bowl, and then they had a terrible season. I think they won 5 games. And then the next season, they're going to the playoffs right now, you know. So we could see the same thing from the Colts if they can find a combination on their offensive line that can support them.
God, yes. Please find an offensive line. I mean, if not, you're going to lose your franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, they got lucky this week and found out he didn't have to have another surgery.
Yeah.
Because that was the fear that he was going to have a second one. So these guys, these coaches are ones that we're speculating right now that are going to probably be fired or may just leave. We talked about Caldwell just a little bit ago. That it's pretty much a done deal for the most part that I know of, besides the actual just firing itself. The other one's going to be John Fox with the Chicago Bears. I would be very, very, very surprised if he comes back. Him and the GM have never really gotten along since he's been hired out in Chicago, and not having winning records has also helped.
He didn't even know they were drafting Trubisky.
Yeah. I mean, you it's just that? No communication at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we – or I showed Buck on our Twitter that – John Fox's press conference after the game, and he was talking about the game. A reporter asked him about, you know, his coaching job, and he said, you know, he's like, I'm here because the NFL requires me to be here. So he was kind of doing the Marshawn Lynch, I'm just here so I don't get fined type of bit. So I thought that was quite hilarious.
The next guy up, did you cover Caldwell?
Yes.
He's projected to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll move into defensive line. We'll talk about their fantasy value as we go. Josh Katsinstein is reporting that Haloti Nakikaha, a defensive lineman for New Orleans, he plays outside linebacker, edge rusher, was placed on IR with an ankle injury. This is a guy that I was high on most of the season, expecting him to have a good season. They haven't really had a pass rush for at least the past 5 years, you know.
Yeah.
They're getting a lot of work done with the defensive end, Cam Jordan. And he's giving a lot of pressure to the other defensive linemen, and they're getting residual value. What this means for me is I'm going to be tracking this throughout the offseason, and I'm going to be seeing if he is injured going into the start of next season and how they combat this. They also got a guy named Trey Henderson. He was, I believe, a fifth-round draft pick. A guy that I was really high on in the Collegiate Senior Bowl and then or All-American Bowl and then the Senior Bowl. He had 2 sacks in both games. So if they can get him up and running and have him on the other side of Cam Jordan, I think that could be a nasty defensive line, especially with Sheldon Rankins.
I agree with everything you just said right there.
Especially when you've got great cornerback and safety play from Vaccaro and Lattimore.
They'll probably add a piece in the draft this year too. Yeah. I still feel like they're pretty set on offense right now. I feel like they're going to either add an O-lineman or they're going to go ahead and dump more into that defense.
Yeah.
So you can see that defense getting even better.
Yeah, and they had success in all 4 of their first and second round draft picks. It's really impressive. Steve Reed is reporting that Charles Johnson, Carolina defensive lineman, was suspended for PEDs. The team actually suspended him instead of the NFL as a precautionary measure. You like seeing teams do this, especially whenever they're in playoff contention, because it shows that they have a code of ethics that they like to stick to. Even though he was out, nobody was playing him right now. So it's better now than later, especially for your fantasy teams.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay Times is reporting that Chris Baker, a defensive lineman for them that was signed this offseason, is expected to be cut for underperforming. I thought he played fairly well. He played assignment football. I don't think he took over games like McCoy has been able to do or Golston. But I think this is a...
Did Baker come from... Was he from the Redskins?
From the Redskins, right? Yeah. Whenever they switched to the 3-4.
Yeah.
From the 4-3.
I guarantee you Chris Baker's going to get signed by somebody, though.
Yeah. And he's going to be a good player.
Yeah. There's a lot of schemes he can fit into very well.
Yeah, if he drops some weight, I think he can fit back into the 4-3 just fine.
All right, moving to the linebackers. You had Zach Brown. He had a foot injury. Vontaze Burfict had a shoulder injury. Denzel Perryman, hamstring. Clay Matthews, hamstring. He was slated to actually start this week. So I don't know if he actually was out or not.
It showed that he was questionable going into the game.
I think he did play. I have to look at the stats.
He did play, and it was limited snaps.
Yeah. Green Bay's been on limited snaps. Packers.com reports that Nick Perry was placed on IR with a shoulder and ankle injury. The dude has great talent, but he's been injured nonstop. But he still produced with his injuries. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah. Why do you think they're doing this? You think they're doing this just to save him for next year? Kind of the same nod that they did with Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily to save him, but it's also to get some other guys signed from the practice squad that they like.
Yeah.
Because we do this a lot.
Get a good look at him.
We do this a lot. We bring up a lot of guys from our practice squad. I mean, I'm sure there are other teams do it a lot, but I feel like we do it quite often to bring guys up. Field Yates reports that James Harrison, who was signed by the Patriots, formerly a Steeler, is sleeping during meetings, kept saying he was tired, or he was tired to get released. He was basically being a cancer on the Steelers. He ended up getting, five tackles and 2 sacks today with the Patriots. So, I mean, he had a decent game. But, I mean, this is just going to make the AFC Championship game so much better if these two teams make it. It's just going to make these two teams fight a little bit harder. And I always like it when I don't always like it when this happens this way, but it makes it way more entertaining. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I've been asked by a lot of people, especially Steelers fans, about this whole situation. And I had heard the rumors of him sleeping during meetings and wanting to get fired so he could be released and go to a different team. I think he's being very selfish. And we've heard this from other teammates throughout the week. And I don't blame him for wanting to go to the Patriots and try and win in a championship. You know, he has been with the Steelers for a long time. He ended up getting in a fight with Jerry Porter, a guy that was his teammate earlier on in his career. And you kind of see this. You see this with Pete Carroll's team. As teams become more comfortable with each other, whether it's friends, relationships, or what have you, it's just human nature, you start expressing yourself in different ways. And we've kind of seen the fallout, and we're seeing the fallout in the Seattle Seahawks locker room, you know. So we will see this in other teams the longer a head coach or longer a regime is there and the longer the players play together.
Yeah, didn't you mean not Jerry Porter? Didn't you mean Joey Porter? Correct?
Joey.
Okay, I just want to make sure because there was a Jerry Porter that played, but I don't ever think he played for the Steelers.
Jerry Porter was a wide receiver.
Yeah. But yeah, I understand what you're saying. I feel like that's just something that shouldn't be happening from a veteran. You know, and I feel like he's been the guy who's been skipping OTAs for about 4 years now. Mm-hmm. So he does. He's just trying to get a championship, and I don't know why he can't get it with the Steelers. But
yeah, maybe he thought he had a better shot. And I think another thing came down to was the play out of Dupree and Watt was limiting his snaps.
Yeah,
this is a guy that reportedly would be hurt, and yet he'd post a video about him powerlifting the same day. Mm-hmm. And teammates were getting pissed, you know?
Yeah.
Do you blame him?
No, I don't blame it all for that. No.
You know, you see people at your work that are like this all the time. They're like, oh, man, I'm sick. You went out drinking last night. You know?
Dude, I had a girl do that today. I'm not going to lie. Like,
really?
I just now looked at her Snapchat. So I was like, oh, that's why you didn't feel good today. You were out drinking the night before. I'm like, now I get it.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, everyone gets a case of those get sick on Saturday or get sick weekends.
Depends on what you're abusing, you know.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
All right, let's move right into the defensive backs. Chiefs.com is reporting that Philip Gaines, a cornerback for the Kansas City Chiefs, left a game this week with an elbow injury, and he may not play next week. They've had quite a few injuries in their D-back core, and Revis is not playing as great as he should be. He shut down the Raiders, but the Raiders look terrible this whole season. So, if Philip Gaines is out, what do you think this does next week whenever they play the Titans? You think Corey Davis goes off?
Probably.
But you think so?
I really hope that just really the whole Titans as an organization go off and they just score like 500 points.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love a 45-point game, but.
Yeah, we're in Chief country, so.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a biased take, but we like seeing the Chiefs play.
I'm not biased because I just don't want to walk into work next. When do they play? Do they play Sunday or Saturday?
They play Saturday.
Yeah, I just don't want to walk in and have to hear. No, I'm off the weekend. I don't have to worry about it until Monday. Nice. So then the following Monday, I really don't have to walk in and be like, oh, how about them Chiefs? And be like, I don't care. It's just the same stuff. And then when they lose, no one ever says anything on Monday. But I'll be like, oh, hey, how'd the Chiefs do? And then you hear, oh, we didn't do this, this, and this. We suck.
Yeah.
It's so weird. They're so opposite of other fans. Like, I'm usually mad, but I have optimism that we can do better the next week. The Chiefs are like automatically like, oh, we got to do something.
Yeah, they just want to cut their whole team after a loss, yeah. Man. It's ridiculous. We've talked about Marcus Peters and the thoughts of Chief fans around here. We'll not dig too deep into this. Adam Schefter reports that Sidney Jones, cornerback for Philadelphia, who was a rookie and has been out ever since his pro day.
I think we talked about him like the last three shows.
Yeah, ever since his pro day. Played in week 17. He got beat on a double move by Terrence Williams. Terrence Williams, coming out of Oklahoma State, has been spotty. He usually has one or two games out of the season where he performs well. He didn't end up catching the ball. No surprise here, you know. SNY.com is reporting that Eli Apple, cornerback for the Giants, hasn't been ruled out for a return next season. This may just be speculative trade bait amongst NFL owners and GMs trying to get somebody to bite on him.
Thanks a lot.
You think so?
Deion Lewis. Sorry, we're watching highlights, and Deion Lewis didn't help me not win my championship.
Do you think he's trade bait for next year, Eli Apple? With them saying that he hasn't been ruled out for a return next season? Or do you think they legitimately want to bring him back?
I don't think there's going to be a lot of people who will make trades, but if he gets cut, I guarantee you there are going to be people out there who are going to pick him up.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no shortage of people who want talent.
I think easy trade place would be the Browns, especially with Ohio State, you know,
yeah,
right there. CSN Mid-Atlantic is reporting that Rashad Breeland, a cornerback for Washington, is projected to hit the market. What are your thoughts on him?
I like Breeland. He didn't really play very well.
He was hurt.
That's part of it was his injuries. I mean, again, you know, the NFL is one place where teams always need cornerbacks. Even if they've underperformed, they always think they can turn it around.
Yeah.
So it's really just going to be who fits in or where he fits in.
Ian Rappaport is reporting that Kenny Vaccaro, a defensive back for New Orleans, underwent core muscle surgery. He's going to be out the rest of the season.
So as of today, he's going to be out the rest of the season?
Yeah. You think he's going to miss anything throughout the offseason? It's usually like a 6-week injury.
Yeah.
But we've seen how Jalen Ramsey had problems coming back from that last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it went all the way up until week one.
I mean, they'll need him, but I don't think they're making the Super Bowl, so.
You don't think so?
No. It's either going to be Philadelphia or Minnesota. All right. I know that's taking one of the two seeds, but, I mean, do you really think that the Falcons can go as a 6 seed? I mean, I think the Falcons are the only sneaky team that could really make a run.
I think the Saints could make a run. Drew Brees, with the veteran leadership, he can rally that team. You get Kamara hot. You know, Manti Te'o's playing well. Lattimore shutting down wide receivers.
Yeah, and then you have, you know, Carolina, who's played better. But yeah. I think it's going to come down to Cam, and I don't think Cam's going to beat anybody anymore.
Yeah.
And then who's the other seed? Why am I missing one team?
We got it right here. I'll go down to it.
Oh, the Rams. I'm sorry, I forgot the Rams. The Rams play the Falcons. Yep. I think the Rams could be interesting, but I just don't know if they're there yet. I just don't want Minnesota to go. I don't really care what happens as long as Minnesota doesn't go to Super Bowl. I'm happy.
Really?
No, I don't want them playing at home.
I think that would be really interesting.
No, I don't want you that know, to happen.
They'd finally have a chance at winning a Super Bowl.
Sure, if Green Bay hosts the Super Bowl and we go that year, sure, that's awesome. But not the Vikings. I can't handle it. Of course, they'd still only be one world championship to 13, so I guess it wouldn't be still too bad on the scoreboard. All right, so we're going to go into Sarah Barship. She reports that Jonathan Joseph, cornerback for Houston, said he wants to re-sign with the team. Was he the one who got in a fight today?
Yes,
I think it was him and T.Y. like were slapping punches at each other.
They both threw three punches. T.Y. actually got three that connected. Jonathan Joseph missed on his last one.
Yeah, he whiffed on the last one. That's because T.Y. had like pulled back. He's like, Did they both get penalized? I didn't actually see the aftermath of it. I just saw the fight.
Yes, they got penalized. I don't remember if they got kicked, though.
I don't think so.
They should have. Yeah. Typically, when this happens, both players get kicked.
I think it really depends on the officiating or the officials, too.
And if it's malicious, you know. Yeah. If it's just them taking jabs at each other, I think it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a division rival. So, I always like that stuff.
All right. Todd Archer, no relation, is reporting that Orlando Scandrick, a cornerback for Dallas, has been placed on IR with a back injury. You don't like seeing players get hurt with back injuries exiting the week 17 of the season. That's usually a nod that they're going to miss a lot of training camp. We've seen how long it takes Tony Romo, how long it should have taken Derek Carr. Derek Carr shouldn't have played the rest of the season, or at least set out the 4 weeks that he was projected to set out. Especially at the cornerback spot, you definitely need your back to stabilize all those muscles as you're jumping for balls, fighting for deflections, and jamming wide receivers. So we're going to do a special this week. It's going to be our awards. We're going to start out with defensive line, go all the way through to the cornerbacks, and then we're going to reveal our defensive MVP. These are all fantasy-based, not NFL-based.
Not real-life-based. Yeah. Little real life in some of them, but that's just because real life plays pretty good.
So, Paul, who do you have as your defensive lineman of the year?
My defensive lineman is Khalil Campbell.
Calais. I think you're messing
with me. I think I am. Campbell's mine, and he also could have honestly been a comeback player for me as well. The thing is one, it's a little more because I've had him on both my teams this year, both my IDPs that I really play. And the dude's put up points. Dude's put up sacks. You know, he's the old man, but he's been feeding on that line.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's nice to see. I feel like he, as a veteran, raised his defensive linemen, raised his teammates up to play at that level. Because, I mean, he started off the season with a bang, and he just continued it.
Yeah.
You know, he kept racking out sacks. You know, they were getting sacks like repetitions on a bench. Mm-hmm. That's how they were doing it this year. And Campbell was right there with them the whole year.
Yeah, he didn't lose a step. Through the middle part of the year, he struggled. I think it was two or three games. I know a lot of people in our leagues who were starting them, and I got a couple texts, hey, what the hell's going on with Calais Campbell? I said, hey, be patient. You know, he's going to pay off. My defensive lineman of the year is Cam Jordan, a guy we talked about in the offseason, one of the most consistent defensive ends. He's usually your defensive end 5 to 10. This year, he ranked out as our number one in our scoring system.
I had him and Campbell on my Yahoo team.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Had them both.
Dang.
I kept telling you I had the problem of which one I was going to start each week.
Yeah, that is always tough whenever you have two great players, especially in the same position. My honorable mention is DeMarcus Lawrence. I thought he played really well starting out the season. He went on a tear with a bunch of sacks and then went quiet after that.
We have a breaking news in. Adam Scheffner is reporting that John Gruden's probably going to be the next head coach of the Oakland Raiders.
Yes. Dude, you don't understand how happy I am.
Dude, I'm excited because I like John Gruden more as a coach than an analyst.
Oh, but Danielle Hunter. Oh, if I could have this kid. Anybody in the NFL, it would be Danielle Hunter. 7-minute tirade.
I kind of figured that was coming. I was just waiting for when it was going to be reported. But I wonder honestly if they're gonna give him to make him coach besides just a contract. Does he get partial ownership?
Yeah, maybe a partnership.
Oh, that's gonna be crazy. All right, so going into our rookie defensive lineman of the year. For me, it was Barnett. Easy for me. I mean, dude scored a touchdown last week. Again, it was kind of a gimme touchdown, but I'll take him anyway. He's a guy I've been really on all offseason. A guy I wish I would have grabbed on my team, but you know, I took a couple guys ahead of him. But Barnett, by far, he's going to have more to play up to next year. I'd really like to see him step into year two and really kind of take over his spot and solidify it for himself. Playoffs is also a good good purview of what he might be able to do. Again, they're going to have a week off to kind of see how it shakes out. But I would love him to just kind of, not necessarily blow up in the playoffs, but have some really solid games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just really kind of make a name for himself, because playoffs is really how you get noticed.
Yeah.
At least with the casual fan or the casual player. You know, once you pop out there, you'll be like, oh, who's this Barnett guy? But for the rookie, I thought that he was one of the best all year.
Yeah, and mine was Solomon Thomas. Both of these guys, Barnett and Thomas, had limited snaps to start the season. They kind of had to grow into their role. Typically, for your defensive linemen, it's usually a three-year projection. As they get better and better and have more snaps in the NFL, playing at the NFL speed, it's a lot faster than college and a lot faster than high school. We both know this. So does everybody listening. But I think Barnett is a natural. You know, we saw that at Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I was really torn between him and Garrett going into the season. And I liked Garrett's body type. I liked his speed. I liked his measurables a lot better. And I think that Garrett could still grow into that role where he's a dominant force. We saw him correct a lot of his problems with taking snaps off. But Barnett has been full throttle all season, along with Solomon Thomas, with the limited snaps that they've seen starting out the season and how they've progressed throughout the year. I'm really impressed. All right, next up, we're going to talk about linebacker of the year. My linebacker of the year is going to be Bobby Wagner. He struggled with injuries in the past 4 weeks. He solidified himself throughout the season, though, scoring about 20 points each week.
Mm-hmm. He's a monster.
Yeah, he helped you probably didn't help you win your championship. He helped you get to your championship.
He definitely helped you build some stats, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then hopefully you started other guys other than him and helped carry you throughout the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, go ahead and take yours. This is kind of a homer pick, but.
Well, okay, is it really a homer pick when someone plays that good? But mine's going to be Blake Martinez. It's a guy who in the offseason, I said, watch out. He's going to start putting it together. I saw a lot on his rookie year that I really, really liked, and I thought year two was going to be his turnaround, and it really was. He was in the top four scoring linebackers by the end of the year. I mean, the dude's a beast. He's one of those, what I saw was a typical linebacker, you know, a guy who can go in, plug a hole. He got better in coverage as the year went on, which is a crazy stat. Like, if you actually go through and watch his pass coverages, they got better. So he's learning that aspect of his game that's going to only make him better, but he's been leading this defense, so or leading the linebacking core. You know, and Jake Ryan was a guy who was touted to be way better than him, and I think Jake Ryan's still solid, but I think Blake kind of solidified his spot as the number one linebacker on that team.
Yeah, and you ranked him as such. I think you had him in the 20s or 30s, which mm-hmm. was a lot higher than the industry. The industry had both those guys in the 60s, but a lot of that was due to their limited snaps.
Exactly.
The year. Blake Martinez, moving forward, what do you think his responsibilities are with the new defensive coordinator? Do you think, again, you guys haven't lost your defensive coordinator yet.
Yeah.
But if that were to change, do you think they play him in different roles?
It really depends on who they bring in. It's hard to speculate on what a role will be, but when you see those kind of numbers as a defensive coordinator coming in, you're going to go, hey, I need to see
in the film.
I need to see what I can do with that guy more than anyone. Because honestly, most of our really good blitz plays come from our safeties. That's how it's been with Dom Capers' system. And Dom Capers blitzes a lot. You know, we may get a defensive coordinator who doesn't want to blitz as much, which, you know, it's fine as long as you're getting them stops. I don't care what happens as long as we get stops. You know, so I think Blake Martinez is a centerpiece, because back in the day it was probably Clay Matthews, but not anymore. So it's kind of a change in the guard. So we'll just see who comes in if Dom Capers really does leave, which I'm pretty sure he will. All right, going into rookie linebacker of the year. For me, I had TJ Watt. The dude didn't have super solid numbers week to week, but he had overall good numbers. He's one of my guys. The only reason I didn't take Buck's pick is because I let him pick first. So I took the second one because the other guy was going to – Buck's pick was going to be my as well.
Yeah. And both of these players battled injuries throughout the season.
Yeah.
TJ Watt's numbers would have been a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Had he not had that fear of missing the rest of the season.
Exactly.
My guy was Reuben Foster. I thought he played the best assignment-wise. I thought that just looking at how his performance was, I think this is going to translate, and there's a big nod to trading Navarro Bowman, you know, or releasing Navarro Bowman.
Yeah.
They saw something in Reuben Foster. They traded up to get him as well. So I think his role and responsibilities are going to grow from this point. Again, those Alabama linebackers, they're more running downhill instead of running back and covering. But I think he can grow into that player, especially with the speed he's got.
Yeah, and he has they have a really good setup in San Francisco for him. So, and that's, you know, he was one of the first two picks by John Lynch. And, you know, it's both defensive guys. And I think Solomon's going to only help him. And he was our defensive line rookie of the year. So, I mean, you got two guys who we're saying are rookies of the year on the same team. So those guys are only going to help each other out.
Yeah. I think they go corners this year.
Oh, I think so too. I think that, or if not a safety, it really just depends. Because I think they want to go to a three safety look for the most part. But I don't know if they're going to, if they're going to spend somebody. But again, I can't say enough about Reuben Foster. He was my first defensive draft pick last year in our dynasty. So,
yeah. And we talked about how Reed was asked to come down and play a linebacker role. I think they may go with youth next year and try and play that Mark Barron type role. If not, get a more traditional linebacker. So moving right into rookie linebacker of the year, or safety of the year. My pick was Jordan Poyer. He was a guy that I told my dad to pick up in week two. He ended up finishing as the second or third safety in our leagues. Again, we have a different scoring format than a lot of people. If you want to see that, go to our Twitter. It's our pinned tweet. And he ended up getting a pick today. Kind of helped them get that win that they needed. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for him, and it didn't end up mattering. Who you got, Paul?
For mine, I had kind of a double safety of the year. I went Kevin Byard because, you know, there was a lot of times we even talked about when we were making this list where it was guys that we said, oh, man, we got to play against this guy. And Kevin Byard is one of those guys all year. My other one was one that's special to me because he's on my team, one of my first draft or first picks of safety in my dynasty league, and that was Keanu Neal. Guys just played ball out, played really well again today. You know, him and Deion Jones are the centerpieces of those defenses moving forward. You know, Atlanta, I feel like, really still has a solid defense, and he's one of the main reasons. Now, moving right into rookie safety of the year. For me, I had Eddie Jackson. Again, the only reason I had Eddie Jackson because Buck had my other pick. But Eddie Jackson was really good in spots, but really bad in spots. So he wasn't quite consistent as we'd like to see from players or from rookies. He had that one game where he had the two touchdown game. Other than that, it was kind of small. I mean, there were so many times on film I saw him get beat, just flat out beat on just assignments and just not watching and not really paying attention to the wide receiver like he should have. But if he can turn those around and kind of flip those tools and kind of hone it in, just learn. You know, it's all going to be about learning and getting more rhythm. If he can do that, I think he really has a chance to really shine in year two.
Yeah, and we'll cover this in a premium podcast. We always talk about these rookie corners and how they play better fantasy-wise than the veterans. And that's because they grow into this role of being a shutdown corner or being that corner that's always picked on. And if they're picked on too much, then they're rolled back and they're not starting. So there's this transitional period where you have to decide, okay, is this guy going to be here for the long stay, you know, or is he just one and done? But I will cover my safety of the year. It's Buda Baker, a guy that I got sniped on in our dynasty draft. I really wanted him. I ended up getting him in the Yahoo League that we play. Just a redraft auction. And, you know, I played him, and whenever I played him, I got burnt. Whenever I set him, I wished I would have played him. You know,
they got burned either way.
Yeah. So I do see a lot of upside to this kid. We saw it looking at his college tape, and we were high on him going into the season. You look at our ranks, we had him pretty high if you bought the draft kit. My cornerback of the year is going to be Darius Slay. Darius Slay has always been a shutdown corner. He's got speed.
Awesome haircut.
He's got speed to burn. He always finds himself in the right position.
He has good ball vision. He really does. He reads quarterbacks very well. And he's done that since he's a rookie.
Yeah. Great play rec. But one thing I was really surprised is this is what we're talking about, this transitional period, on how players become these superstars, these shutdown corners, and how do they transition? Do they get picked on like Darius Slay is right now, or are they more like the Patrick Peterson or Richard Sherman where they don't get thrown to? You know, and I think next year this may be a good time to sell Darius Slay.
I'd still keep him. The guy still finds a way to get turnovers.
I think you can get a lot of rookies for cheaper, and you can also get another player. You know,
I think Darius Slay is a different player than Richard Sherman in the scheme they have.
Here's the thing. Darius Slay is a shutdown corner, and the NFL obviously hasn't taken note. Once they do take note, they're going to stop throwing his way. And you see that. I know you like him, but the thing is, I care about fantasy points at the end of the season, throughout the season, you know?
No, I mean, I understand that. I just still think he's going to get points.
Well, yeah. But is he going to – is this the best price that you could have for him? And I think yes, especially where he finished this year. I think next year he's going to have lower stats, but he's still going to be a good corner to play. But you're losing value if you hold him.
I mean, it really honestly comes down to the depth of your league as well. You know, if we have really super deep, I would love to have Darius Slay on my team just for the sheer fact that I really had no one all year. Yeah. Besides Keanu Neal, I really had no cornerbacks. I basically had two that I just picked up off waivers, and that was it.
Yeah. So yeah, I like to treat my corners as a turnstile and continually get better talent.
Yeah. All right, my cornerback of the year was Trumaine Johnson.
Rookie. Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, just cornerback. We're not rookies yet.
I got excited.
Easy. But I went with Trumaine Johnson. His play all this year has been really, really great. Fantasy-wise, he's put out a lot of points. Guy who's probably going to continually put out points. I see the same thing coming next year. He's in a system where the ball gets spread around regardless because they don't really have a ton of big names. So it's one of those just kind of build and learn from there. Moving into cornerbacks for the rookies, mine is Tre'Davious White and Desmond King. They both share for me. This one was really hard to pick for cornerback of the year. My other one was Lattimore, but we'll get into him on Buck segment. But for Tre'Davious White, it's a guy that we were really on all offseason telling everyone about. You know, if you have a chance, go pick him up. Go pick him up. Get him. Pick him up. Week to week, we're telling you to pick him up. And he went out and produced every time. So did a really great job. Had no issues with that. I thought he did really, really well. For Desmond King, he was a guy coming out of college that I was really excited about. Coming from Iowa, the guy played really, really well in his college career. And he started to show that. He started to translate that later on in the season. He didn't really have a whole lot of tape or a whole lot of stats for the first 6 weeks. But after that, he turned it on and he started getting more points because Hayward was not playing that well.
Yeah,
Hayward wasn't getting the ball turned over or wasn't turning the ball over as much as he did the year before. So that really helped Desmond King get up there.
Yeah, my rookie of the year for cornerback is going to be Adoree Jackson. How much of this do you think is because we play in a kick return league?
Probably part of it, but that's okay.
Probably part of it, yeah.
And just you said that, you sounded so unexcited about Adoree Jackson.
No, I love him, man. I ended up drafting him. I saw what he did at USC, and I was like, man, this guy's a playmaker. And it translated, you know. Is this the highest price I can get for Adoree Jackson? Maybe. I think this is one of those guys that you'd want to go ahead and keep. But my next guy may be a guy that I may trade away if I have him. Who Marshawn Lattimore.
Who's getting in the fight right now?
Marshawn Lattimore. I would be trading him away because he solidified himself as a shutdown corner. And a lot of people are taking recognition of what he's done, especially to Julio and others. I really like the kid, but I think this is probably the highest value you can get from him going forward. My comeback player of the year is going to be Wesley Woodyard, a guy that's gotten older in the years. He hasn't lost really his instincts. He was playing a lot slower the past 2 years, especially when he transferred to Tennessee from the Denver Broncos. But we've seen him solidify this role as a leader on this defense, You've seen Kevin Byard's play go up. You see Adoree Jackson playing well. And Casey's always been a stud. So I think that this may be a good time to sell him, especially with his age. What about you, Paul?
I can't agree with you more, because I said at the beginning of this year I didn't think he was going to have as great of numbers as he did. He's a guy who 3 years ago we weren't really talking about at all as a viable option for linebacker week to week. My comeback player was Rashad Jones from Miami.
That's a really good one.
I thought he was probably the best scoring safety this year, in my opinion. I think statistically he was too. He almost racked out at 250. Just came back, kind of took over that team. Honestly, I thought it was going to be between him and Collins at the end of the day, and Collins with those injuries kind of hurt him, but Miami was, you know, playing for a, or was playing for playoffs for a while, and then it kind of fell apart at the end. But Rashad just went out and took over that secondary and made it his.
Mm-hmm.
So moving into the defensive player of the year, and that's for both of us.
Again, these, I think both of these are temporal, limited to a specific part in time, you know.
Yeah. I think both these guys, if they would have gotten hurt, it really would have been a race to see who finished first. You know, because my guy was near 300 points. Your guy was near 300 points at least. He was near 250 when he got hurt. So for me, my guy was Bobby Wagner, a guy that we had as Buck had as his linebacker of the year. For me, Bobby Wagner was a guy who I didn't want to play against and a guy I wish I had on my team. So he was one that I I looked forward to, even though I'm not a big fantasy at all. He's a guy who just goes out there and balls out and he runs his defense. You know, and he had better numbers than Luke Kuechly, and so in that mind, that makes that for defensive player of the year for me.
Did Luke miss any time with injury?
No, I think he had a concussion, but it wasn't a concussion.
I think he just missed one game.
Yeah, but Bobby Wagner missed more time and still had more fantasy value than any of those guys.
Yeah, and he even played through injuries and got you at least his floor. You know, I think he got you like 5 points 1 week or 10 the next, which... It sucks whenever you're in a smaller league and you're starting Bobby Wagner. But, I mean, that's kind of the problem that we all face in fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
My guy of the year was, no surprise here, Ryan Shazier. I love this guy.
Homer pick.
I love this guy. You know, I'm really sad, and I don't know if he'll ever play again.
Ooh, I think he'll play again.
I hope so. He's a fighter. I think he'll come back. But
hopefully he's been watching film on how to tackle better.
I think he'll miss most of the first part of the season.
I don't know, man. Some of those guys can come back pretty quick. You know, their bodies work a lot different than, you know, the average Joe. Yeah. Those guys are finely tuned athletic machines.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I just quoted, like, Waterboy. I'm pretty sure I just quoted it. I didn't mean to. But, Ryan Shazier was a guy who I enjoy playing as well. He's a guy that me and you have fought over drafting for years.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that we've traded back and forth. So, I mean, it's a guy that we've gone back and forward with, especially if you throw in Stephon Anthony. Huh. That was a guy that we were both really harking on back and forth.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and talk about the playoffs and guys we're looking forward to seeing, at least this week, and guys we're going to watch throughout the whole playoffs. We'll talk about the AFC first.
Yeah, the AFC on Saturday, you're going to have the Chiefs and the Titans. For the Chiefs, I want to see what Reggie Ragland does in the playoffs. I'm curious.
Got rested this week. Ramique Wilson got the start.
Oh. Okay, shows how much I pinched. Never mind. Probably not going to do anything.
No. They were resting a lot of their players. They started Patrick Mahomes, and they sat Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce.
I've literally seen no highlights from this game, so really? I have no clue.
Sherman, I think he's their fullback, isn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, they had a lot of injuries to their running back core. He ran, I think, 3 consecutive plays and got stopped, and then I think he got it on the 4th down at the goal line. It was piss poor performance, man.
Wow.
But again, we hate on the Chiefs. We're in Chiefs Kingdom. But for the Chiefs, for me, I want to keep watching Sorensen. He has an uncanny ability to just raise the level of that team. And he's that lunch pail like guy that wouldn't typically start if everybody was healthy. He would get nickel assignments and what have you. But he wouldn't be starting the whole game.
Maybe they'll bring Eric Berry back just for fun. Just have them out there and stand on the field just to make it better.
Yeah.
So that way there's no excuses when they lose. Like, oh, if we would have had Eric Berry, we wouldn't have lost.
Yeah. I also want to see Peters ball out against the Titans. I think he has a great opportunity to, especially with Mariota playing as poorly as he has been. Mm-hmm. He had a good game today, or a decent game today. For the Titans, who are you looking at on defense?
I'm going to look at the rookie.
Ndoye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to see how he plays. Game. So I like to see how rookies play in the playoffs. You know, this is a forward step of their careers.
Yeah.
This is where you start making your tape and you start making your Hall of Fame packages in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect time to start stepping up and playing bigger than what you are.
And you see guys every year who just blow up. Mm-hmm. David Johnson's a good one that we saw 2 years ago blow up in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Came out of nowhere, and he was a guy that everybody wanted to add. So continue to watch the playoff games, because you may find a talent or a gem, if we don't mention him, that you may be able to draft as a sleeper next year. The other AFC game is the Jags versus the Bills. I want to see the Jags completely obliterate the Bills. Watch Tyrod Taylor run around.
I want the Bills to win.
Do you really?
Bro, the Bills have been in the playoffs since like I was a little kid.
Yeah, but their defense isn't exciting.
I want the Bills to win. I don't care. I just want the Bills to win. Just one. And I do like Jacksonville. Don't get me wrong, but I was really hoping the Bills were going to be playing the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because that would have been
It's a cakewalk for the Chiefs either way. I would have loved to see
The Titans could be sneaky good if they could actually get their running game going and actually pound the ball like they're supposed to, and Mariota doesn't turn it over. That's the thing. Like, Mariota turns the ball over.
There were so many times whenever Henry tried to run today, and he got like 1 or 2 yards or got tackled behind the line of scrimmage. It was kind of disappointing.
It's an Alabama syndrome, man.
Yeah.
Alabama running backs.
But for the Jags, I want to see them sack the hell out of the Bills. Watch Tyrod Taylor run around. For the Bills, I want to see Tre'Davious White come up big, especially against Bortles.
I'm going Micah Hyde. I hope he shows up in the playoffs. Hyde. This is a guy who has playoff experience.
Yeah, and Poyer too. Defensive line wise, Kyle Williams, he ended up getting a touchdown. You see that?
Mm-hmm. I did actually see it. I didn't see the play, but I saw it on my ticker.
That was awesome. A guy that considered retiring this offseason.
Mm-hmm. Now he's going to get a shot at the playoffs finally.
Yeah, they called him back and he said, hey, I'll go one more year. If he comes back another year, I'd be really surprised, especially with them making this playoff push. It may be some incentive for him.
Yeah.
Exactly. For the Steelers going in 2 weeks from now, are you looking forward to anything?
I'm looking forward to them hopefully beating whoever they play. I want to see the Steelers and the Patriots again.
Yeah.
Just hopefully with the Steelers winning, because I just don't want the Patriots to go to another Super Bowl. I just don't. I'm tired of seeing it. It gets on my nerves.
Yeah. I'd like to see Brady win one more and leave.
Yeah.
Just leave, Brady. You reckon?
I mean, the only reason I'd want to see... Well, because, you know, the Jags will play the Steelers, so that really kind of – I mean, the Jags and Steelers wouldn't be a bad matchup, just because you remember Mercedes Lewis? No. Byron Maxwell? No. Oh, my God. Who used to be the quarterback for Jacksonville Jaguars last time they made the playoffs?
Quarterback?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I had his name just like 2 minutes ago.
Yeah.
We'll oh, my on. God.
I'll pull it up.
I'm so mad I forgot that right now. Ugh. Anyway, the last time the Jags actually won a decent playoff game was against the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
Number 8.
Yeah. Dude, it's driving me nuts.
Thick white guy.
What?
No. The last time they beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh in the playoffs.
No.
All right, you look it up and I'll keep talking about it.
All right.
So that's a matchup I wouldn't mind
You're
seeing.
You're talking about quarterback, right?
But I'd like to see the Jags play the Patriots in the next round, which wouldn't happen. So it would probably be the Chiefs versus the Patriots, and I have to pick the lesser of two evils and go with the Patriots. So I just don't think anyone's going to go to Foxborough and win except for the Steelers, because the Patriots got really lucky to beat them in Pittsburgh. I would love to see Pittsburgh get revenge and beat them in their own house.
All right, let's go through them. Chad Henne.
No.
Blaine Gabbert.
No.
Luke McCown.
No.
The guy I'm thinking of.
I want to say it's Maxwell, but I know that.
You're thinking Byron Leftwich?
Byron Leftwich. Yes, that's who
I was thinking Mark Brunell.
Thank you. Leftwich. That's who
I loved watching Mark Brunell, man.
Leftwich. That's who it was. That was the last time that they had a really decent playoff matchup.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the last times Jacksonville's been in the playoffs that I remember for quite a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
After that. So that'd be an interesting matchup.
Let's move into the NFC.
So, yeah, with the NFC, you have, I think it's going to be the Rams and Falcons on Saturday. I
believe there's, yeah, you're right.
The Falcons are the 6 seed, Rams 3 seed. What I'm looking forward to from the Rams is I really want to see this defensive line step up and make a name for them, or not make a name, but necessarily just step up and show who they just are.
Take over the game.
Yeah, they've been a good team, or they've been a good line all out the year, but they've never had blow-up games. I want to see a blow-up game.
Donald against the Seahawks, man. Him, Brockers, Quinn, they all made him run for his money.
Everyone makes him run for his money. Yeah, Russell Wilson runs more than probably any person, period, besides Usain Bolt. It's probably the only person who runs more than him.
I want to see good play out of their D-backs. Again, they're young. Mm-hmm. I really do want to see the Rams' offense against the Falcons' defense. The Falcons have that speedy linebacker core. They got some fast D-backs. We saw Keanu Neal seal a victory today.
Mm-hmm.
And what can this high-powered Rams offense do against this speedy Falcons defense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the Falcons, I would like to see Vic Beasley show up.
He got a sack today.
I know he did. I'd still like to see him show up more.
Yeah.
For guys, how he toted as he was, I want to see more.
Yeah, we have him ranked, I think, third overall.
Yeah, we have him pretty high up there.
Yeah, and he was hurt coming in the season. We got the Saints and the Panthers. For the Saints, I'd like to see Lattimore play well again, just because where he's coming from. Manti Te'o, I really enjoyed watching him the past 2 weeks, and especially with the A.J. Klein injury. Cam Jordan, I'd like to see Sheldon Rankins get a sack. He was a guy that I was high on 2 years ago. Who else you got for the Saints defense?
For the Saints defense, besides Cam Jordan, Manti Te'o,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's so funny. You know, he was such a high guy coming out of college until that whole Heisman thing hit. Then everyone just kind of forgot about him.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't really come out and set the league on fire. It took him about, what is this year, 4 or 5?
Yeah. He got good. He had decent spotty play in San Diego.
Yeah. But just nothing that ever stood out.
He was always hurt. He always had problems. Looking at the Panthers, you always want to see Luke play well. At least I do. One of my favorite players. James Bradbury's been playing really well at the cornerback spot. Captain Munerlin. You got Adams, who made a vicious hit today.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Star.
Mac Tulio.
I want to see Star play well. I want to see him get a sack.
I'm so glad you said Star, because that's the one I was going with.
Yeah, I know you're really big on Star. You like him a lot. Man.
Love him.
And who's the other defensive end? Oh, Addison. I like watching Addison. He tears up offensive line, especially with the Saints. He may have a good opportunity to get a sack. And he's had a good season all season. He was one of the guys I was thinking about as my defensive player of the year or comeback player of the year. Paul, go ahead and close this out. Let the listeners know about our premium podcast.
All right, yeah, for our premium podcast, you're going to be getting all the good stuff, the stuff that we've been giving away for free. You know, we're giving you even more, you know, and that's going to help pay for us to spend more time on this and better our product.
And we're going to have a positional podcast with this rookie class coming in. We're going to talk about the defensive tackles. We're going to talk about the defensive ends, the inside, and then the outside linebackers, the cornerbacks, and then the safeties. And we'll break down all of them and what we have on them. On their tape studies, what we have on them in reports that we can find. And then as the offseason goes closer to the draft, we'll have more information. We'll have the Senior Bowl, we'll have the Shrine Bowl, and we'll have the All-Star Bowl. After all that, we'll have the draft or the Underwear Olympics. And I like to get a lot of nuggets from Mike Mayock and jot them down and put them in the same file right next to their name, so I can come back to them and kind of bounce my notes off what somebody who has more access than us is saying. That's where you get those stories about Desmond King and how he was buddies with the cornerback from... Oh, where was he a cornerback from? I don't even remember.
Iowa?
Yeah, well, that's where he was. But he had a buddy. He was a wide receiver, and they were like best buds growing up. They actually played inner city ball against each other.
Oh.
And you like hearing stories like that because it may manifest itself into a matchup later on in their career, and then you can kind of see that rivalry grow. One of those rivalries, not necessarily like family or location based, is Crabtree and Tlaib. You just like watching that matchup each week and how they go after each other. You got anything, Paul?
Honestly, I'm just looking forward to getting to the off season and working on the website. I think there's a lot of good things we have coming up. You know, I'm excited about the off season.
Yeah.
This is one of the first off season I've been excited about for a while.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it too. We got that website coming up. We're going to be kicking out our draft kit earlier than everybody else. Mm-hmm. You're going to have dynasty ranks.
I'm telling you guys, I'm going to keep pushing as much as I can. Our draft kit, I guarantee you, is more than what you're going to get from any other website.
And you're going to pay a lot less.
A lot less for it. I'm telling you, you're going to be so much happier with the depth of information you're going to get. And just the sheer stat breakdowns that we have is far superior. And I'm not just trying to toot it because it's my own brand. It's just because I've compared to other competitors. Yeah. And we put out a lot of stuff.
Yeah. We were consumers for the longest time.
Yeah.
I've been playing since 2004. Paul's been playing about the same time.
Yeah, I think I started 2004, 2005 too.
So we were playing as kids, and it's kind of been something that we look forward to every year, this draft,
you know,
prep.
And Buck was a guy who told me, you know, when we first started this endeavor, he's like, you know, about week 9, man, you're going to hate this and you're going to want to quit. I actually got more into it as the season went on.
Yeah, which was kind of odd.
I was like week 13, I'm like, oh, man, I'm ready for scouting. Like, this is fun. I'm excited. I'm pumped.
Yeah, scouting is the part where I really look forward to. I could just sit down with a beer, with my notebook, pull up the games on YouTube, go ahead and break down film study, take some notes, you know.
Yeah, and that's what I'm excited about. You know, I've always been excited to watch your process and see what you do, and then show you what I can do, what I do, how I do mine as well.
Yeah.
So that's something that we've never collaborated or really gone in and watched stuff together to kind of see what we like and don't like.
We're typically competing against each other in most of our leagues, so.
Which we still are.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how we share our knowledge, you know.
I'm the upfront one. Buck's a sneaky one who likes to hide stuff.
When it comes to the podcast, though, you're going to be getting all of our thoughts, you know. It's not going to be us holding back from the other.
Yeah. All right. So, as always, you know, great season. Hope you guys won many championships.
And thank you, guys. Yeah, we really appreciate it. And
thank you for everything.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. You guys put a smile on our face. We love seeing those clicks. We love seeing the interactions on Twitter that you guys give to us and the emails.
Yeah, and this isn't the end. This is just the beginning for us. So we're real excited. And so, as always, start building your empire today.